In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From Deuteronomy. Do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, so that you may go in and occupy the good land that the Lord swore to your ancestors to give you. And from the Epistle to the Hebrews. For here we have no lasting city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. The sixth chapter of Deuteronomy, from which we heard in the first lesson, is a key text for the Jews. It includes the Shema, the principal Jewish confession of faith, words that Jesus identified as the greatest commandment of all when he was challenged by a lawyer who was trying to catch him out in his speech. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Jews were instructed to teach these words to their children, to recite them when they lay down to rest and rose up from sleep, to carry them about at all times in tiny pouches known as phylacteries, strapped to their foreheads and forearms. For their faithfulness, the Jews were to be rewarded with a land of their own, the land that God promised to the patriarchs, a land with fine, large cities that you did not build, houses filled with all sorts of goods that you did not fill, hewn cisterns that you did not hew, vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. If they would keep the commandments and do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, the land and all its good things would be theirs in perpetuity, just as God had promised to their ancestors. It was to be a covenant, a legal agreement between God and the people he had released from slavery in Egypt in order to settle them in a territory that he had chosen for them. Like all legal agreements, there were obligations and rewards on both sides. The Jews therefore became the people of the land. Their self-understanding was inextricably linked to the occupation of the land, and their religious imagination was shaped by it. Land also means place, and the significant places of the land of promise, Jerusalem, the temple, the tombs of the ancestors, the mountains where the heroes of Israel encountered God, all became inalienable parts of this heritage of promise, to be fiercely contended for when under attack by hostile neighbors, to be mourned when lost. By the waters of Babylon we sat down and wept when we remembered thee, O Zion. Psalm 137. But if the Jews are the people of the land, they are also the people of the diaspora, the worldwide community of Jews who have, for whatever reason, left their homeland and settled elsewhere. Sometimes they have prospered and deployed their intellectual, scientific, and artistic gifts to contribute hugely to the communities where they have come to rest. Sometimes they have been exploited, persecuted, and murdered just for being Jews. But for better or worse, the diaspora is also part of the Jewish understanding of who they are and what God is calling them to be. So for the Jews, there is a tension between being the people of the land, defending uncompromisingly their right to the possession of the land covenanted by God to Abraham and his descendants, and being the people of the diaspora, sent into the world to live out their faith in places where they are often in a tiny minority. But what of the Christian church? In our second lesson, the passage from the Acts of the Apostles, we heard about Paul brought before the Jewish council and accused of fomenting a riot and preaching doctrines contrary to the Jewish faith. It ends, this passage, with the risen Jesus appearing to Paul in a vision and urging him, "Keep up your courage, for just as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must bear witness also in Rome." It was Paul's radical take on the gospel that blew away any chance of the Christian church retaining Judaism's fierce attachment to the land. Believing himself called to break through the boundaries of Judaism and carry the gospel to the Gentile world, Paul's model for the churches he founded was the diaspora communities, small groups of believers practicing their faith amidst the social and religious diversity of the Roman world. It was the people, not the land or the place, that mattered. As another early Christian writer put it in the Epistle to the Hebrews, "For here we have no lasting city, but we are looking for the city that is to come." Christians are therefore a pilgrim people. With our shrines and landmarks, our holy places, and other places that evoke memories of those who have gone before, but always spiritually on the move. We yearn for Jerusalem, but it is the heavenly Jerusalem, the city that is to come, not the earthly Jerusalem, with its sad history of bloodshed, strife, and religious contention. We look for a kingdom, but it is God's kingdom revealed in the teaching of Jesus, not a political kingdom planted in the ravaged and corrupted soil of Palestine. The old covenant failed because it depended on the shifting sands of human obedience to God's will. The new covenant endures and bears fruit because it is guaranteed by God and sealed with the blood of Jesus. Amen.